The joy of teaching and preaching God's Word is to be able to help and edify the body of Christ. This is Tony Broom Ministries, bringing to you the following session entitled, The Letters of Paul, Part 2. I just want to start this session today by thanking the Lord for my Bible. I thank the Lord that I have a Bible to read and that I can have the Bible read to me. Sometimes I have to do it through the computer or through the audio player or whatever it is, but I thank God for His Word. A lot of God's Word is the New Testament, and a lot of that is Paul's writings. The Letters of Paul, Part 2. And here he talks about Jesus being the head of the church, the second coming of Christ, giving instructions to His people to help us. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. He is the head. As long as we look to Him, we'll be okay. And as long as we get our nourishment and our encouragement from Jesus, everything's going to work out. Colossians 1:18 is our golden text. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Jesus, being the head of the church, He is the firstborn. He is the beginning. He said, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, first and the last. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. He was the firstborn. He was the first one that was resurrected, the first fruits of the resurrection. He is the first fruits of those who slept. That means that He is the first, and because He is risen, that all of us, we have the promise of His glorious resurrection. We can be risen too, and we will one of these days. Because He is the beginning, because He is the firstborn from the dead to be resurrected, He can have the preeminence. He is the preeminent one. Paul writes so much about Christ and the church. He talks about it in a lot of his books, and especially Colossians. He tells us about Him being the head of the church. He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. As far back as you want to go, the Lord Jesus Christ is. He said, before Abraham was, I am, present tense, and He is. He is before all things, before anything that was made, before the sea and the sky and the earth. Jesus is. He's before all things, and by Him all things consist. That means all things have meaning. He gives meaning to all things. Without Him, life would have no meaning. There would be no reason to have heaven and earth and animals and mankind and all these things, even angels. Be no need to have all that without Jesus. He is the head of the body, the church. And the church is the body of Christ. Jesus is the head of it. He is our great shepherd, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. It pleases the Father that in Christ all fullness would dwell in Him. It doesn't take anything away from the Father. When we praise Jesus, when we give glory to the Son, when we exalt the name of Jesus Christ, that doesn't take anything away from the Father. It doesn't lessen the Father. It brings glory to the Father. If you want to glorify the Father, the greatest way you can do that is to praise the Son. If you praise the Son, it glorifies the Father. If you praise the Father, it glorifies the Son. And in the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, the Holy Spirit would glorify me. He will glorify me, for He shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So it all goes together. You don't have to worry about taking away honor one from the other. When you praise one's name, you're not taking away from the other. You're blessing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself, by Him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. The greatest thing we can do as a church and as a ministry is to zero in on preaching the blood and the cross. We may preach other subjects sometimes, and baptism of the Holy Spirit, divine healing, and prophecy, and the coming of Christ, of course. But as we focus on the blood and the cross, because it's easy, there's motivational speaking and these feel-good sermons. You know, they say the theme song of the church used to be Amazing Grace, and now it's hooked on a feeling, all right? Well, but we need to focus on the blood and the cross. It's easy to get off focus. You hear less sermons about the blood, less sermons about the cross. Having made peace through the blood of His cross. That's the only way we have peace with God and salvation, is because of blood and the cross. Thank God for the precious blood, and He shed that blood on the cross. By Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. God used Jesus to reconcile all things back to Himself. How, and God didn't have to say this, but just in our way of thinking, how in the world can I bring the world back to me? I can do it through my Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what He did. Ephesians, one of those great books in the Bible. He talks about our relationship with God in chapter 2, verse 19. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. He is the cornerstone, and we're founded upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets. The apostles in the New Testament, prophets in the Old Testament. We have prophets in the New Testament too, but it's all the foundation. Foundation of the Old Covenant. And built on the Old Covenant is the New Covenant. Upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone. The builders rejected Him. But thank God He has become the head of the corner, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are a holy temple. Thank God for the church building. This is a house of God. It should be respected as a house of God. It's not a dance hall. It's not a pool hall. It's not a game hall. It's the house of God. And it should be expected and respected as the house of God. But the real temple is not a building. God dwells not in buildings made with hands, but we are the temple of the living God. We are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. The Spirit of God dwells in us. The Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in us. And in chapter 4 of Ephesians, he talks about the fivefold ministry. He gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. The fivefold ministry is given for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's the purpose of the fivefold ministry. And it's to stay in effect. Some people believe that it quit being, it's cessationalism, it stopped. We don't believe that. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches that it should continue as long as the church age is in place, as long as we're here. Jesus is to continue working through the Spirit and the Great Commission. The Holy Spirit continues pouring out Himself and the gifts of God till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He wants us to grow up into Him. So many people have been spiritual babies so long that we need to grow up. This will keep us from false doctrine and cause us to grow up in Christ and mature in the faith. We need to have maturity in the faith. It's all right to be a babe in Christ. All of us have been babes in Christ. But we don't need to stay a baby. We need to grow up in the Lord. Grow up into the head. The fullness of God. Expressing ourselves in each other, to each other in love. He talks, Paul does in his writings, about Christ's coming. We would not know so much about the coming of Christ if it had not been for the Apostle Paul. One of those great rapture scriptures. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. There's a way I like to joke a little bit about reading that. I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren. All right? I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not as others which have no hope. We sorrow when a brother or sister passes on, but we don't sorrow like those who have no hope. We sorrow, but we have hope, because the Scripture says if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. That says that when Jesus comes again in the air, God will bring our loved ones with him. Now, they won't come all the way back to earth then. They won't need to. But it says right here, those who sleep in Christ, God will bring with him. When he comes, they will come, the shout will come, and he will come, and we will come all meet together. This we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is not just what some man thinks. This is the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not go ahead of those who are asleep. The teaching was, what about those who are asleep? If Jesus comes and we're translated and we go to be with him, what about our loved ones in the grave? And Paul was assuring them, we don't have to worry about that. We will not prevent. We will not go ahead of those who are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Boy, that's a lot of things happening. He'll descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ, those who are asleep in the grave, the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, quicker than you can think, those dead in Christ folks will rise up from the grave. The glorified body, you and I, if we're alive and remain on this earth, will be translated instantaneously in a flash. We all be together with the Lord. And as sanctified Archie Campbell said, we'll all live happily hither hither. We'll just be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And you and I should be in a position that we would receive comfort from the words of God. And he talks about in 2 Thessalonians 2. Because there are some people who were discouraged because the coming of the Lord had not come. We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together into him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, nor be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, apostasia, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. The coming of Christ will come. The rapture will take place. Tribulation will set in on this earth, and then Jesus Christ will literally return to the earth a second time. And he says, let no man deceive you. Don't listen, and they'll say, looky here, here's a new letter, here's a new word, here's a new spirit. He says, it might look like it came from us, it might sound like it came from us, but don't you worry. Here's the word of God, here's what will happen. Jesus will come with that shout and that trumpet. The dead in Christ will rise first. We will rise to meet him in the air and be with him forever. While we're there in heaven, the tribulation takes place on this earth. And the day of the Lord, when the day of the Lord is always talking about the judgment, it's that time of judgment, tribulation. The day of the Lord will come, but it will not come without a falling away first. And we can see signs of it right now. Right now, the apostasy is taking place. Right now, it is setting the stage up. It's not in full flown yet, but it's setting the stage up right now for that big falling away that he's talking about. And the falling away, some preachers have interpreted that to mean the catching away of the church. That's not what he's talking about. The falling away, there's certainly a difference between a falling away and a catching away. I want to be caught away, but I certainly don't want to fall away. There's a big difference between that. And so he's talking about the falling away. The world will go after just crazy things. And we've seen it happen. We see it happen right now. They'll go after things that you would not believe. that a person with one eye and half sense would do like they're doing. Somebody will say they're going to do something and they will go after them hook, line, and sinker. And yet you have someone that gives you the truth and you won't give him time of day. Paul says, beware. Don't let anybody deceive you. Jesus is coming. Keep on serving God and keep on worshiping God. We don't know when he's coming. I don't want to be mad with a brother or sister. I don't want to even be mad with my wife and have something take place. And Jesus would come and I'd be fuming and spewing, and I better be praying and seeking the face of God. I don't want to be caught in a place I shouldn't be caught, in an attitude I shouldn't have, a place I shouldn't be in my mind and my heart when Jesus comes again. I know I'm human, and I know that we have shortcomings. If Jesus comes, and you're going 56 miles an hour, don't worry, you'll still go to heaven. You don't have to worry about that. I'm not talking about legalism. I'm talking about still living for God. You cannot say my Lord delays his coming and begin to smite your fellow servants, to eat and drink with the drunken and the wicked, and go out in the world and just forget about it. My Lord's delaying his coming, like the 1960s song, Jimmy Mack, you ain't never coming back. That's not what the way we ought to feel about the Lord. He is coming back. And the way that they live, the way they get to living like that, that's what he meant when he said, in the moment that you think not, the Son of Man will come. Because they won't be ready for it. You and I, he will not come and take us like a thief. He will not come and take us by surprise because we're watching and waiting for him. If he comes in the morning, praise God. If he comes at night when we sleep, that's all right. We'll just be with him. We're watching and waiting. Paul's writings gives pastoral care and instructions. And it's so important because we would not have many of the things that we have as people, as preachers, as bishops, as deacons, without Paul's writings. 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, thou, O man of God, flee these things. He's talking about false doctrine and filthy lucre, the love of money, not money, but the love of money, the root of all evil, which some, having gone after, have pierced themselves through with many sorrows, and they've tried to be rich. He said, if we have food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Many people have erred from the faith because they've gone after filthy lucre. Many preachers have gone into perdition, have gone into sin, have gone into condemnation and a snare of the evil one, the scripture said, because of this filthy lucre. They begin to get rich and prosper in goods, and churches can do that. Individuals can do that. False doctrine, he says, man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Timothy, you've run your mouth for the Lord. You said you're going to serve God. Now you got to put your money where your mouth is. You got to put your heart, you got to put your testimony where your mouth is. He tells him in 2 Timothy chapter 2, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. We got to pass it on down, but we cannot put it in the hands of those who will not use it properly. We've got to pass it on down to those who will be able to teach others. That's what happened to you and I. If we had not received the gospel from faithful men, you and I would be lost today. But the gospel came on down through the ages, came the word of God and the gospel. It came to us through faithful men and women of God. And that's what he said, I want you to do. Commit it to faithful people who will be able to teach others also. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Hardships will come. Jesus himself said, it must be that offenses will come, but woe to that man through whom they come. You just don't be a channel of offense. Hardships, hard times will come. Jesus said they would. The apostles said they would. The prophets said they would. Paul said they would. Hard times are coming, but you be a strong soldier for Jesus Christ. Endure hardness like a good soldier. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If you're going to be a soldier, you can't worry about what's going on back at home. I laid on my bunk in state school in the 60s, and that song, "I want to go home, I want to go home," and then the guys said, oh, they'd cry on their bunk. Some of you been in the military, you know what that's about. You can't worry about what's going on at home. Ain't no need in going home. Jody's got your gal and gone. Ain't no need in going back. Jody's got your Cadillac. You can't worry about what's going on at home. You can't worry about what's happening all around in the world. Now, if you're concerned and you listen to enough news to know what's going on, you don't have to listen too much. But you cannot be overly concerned, what if, what they said, what she said, what they might do. You'll never make any progress. You'll never serve God doing that. No man who was going to be a good soldier will war can entangle himself with the affairs of this life. You've got to be ready when the revelry sounds, when the alert sounds, you've got to be ready right then. You cannot be entangled with all these other things. That's the way it is with serving God. We have to be single focused on serving God. It's like if a man strives for masteries or has competition. He is not crowned except he does it lawfully. And that's the way it is. You and I, if we're going to make it to heaven and be with the Lord, we've got to go the right way. Paul warns Timothy that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will love themselves more than God. They will have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. He urges him to preach the word and warns him and challenges him to be faithful and remain true to God. With those famous words from chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, 2 Timothy. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. And he tells Titus the same thing. He tells Philemon the same thing. He tells all of the people, the Romans, the Christians there, and he tells us all the same thing. Titus 3, which is so pertinent for the day in which we live. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. We have to obey the government, not when it goes against God. The apostle said we must obey God rather than man. But as long as it doesn't go against your Christian conscience and the law of God, we're to obey those in authority over us. We're to pray for those in authority over us. We're to pray for our president, our vice president, and our leaders, no matter who they are. Don't just pray for them when people that you like or the people that you want to be in there. It didn't say that. It says pray for them no matter who they are, that we would lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Don't get out there and act like a monkey or act like that other animal in the barn that we can't say right now, but don't get out there and act like one of them. Don't get out there and show you God bless America. We have a voice. We have a vote. We can use that in the right way, and that's all we can do. We're to be people of peace, not people of violence and rioting and war. To speak evil of no man. We don't accomplish anything by running somebody else down, whether it be a political person, whether it be a brother or sister in the church, or somebody in the world. You'll never win them to God by running them down. Speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers. Most of us too old to brawl anyway. We wouldn't even make a good sinner anymore. Might as well serve God and be right with God. Be gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometime foolish. We used to be disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. That should not be our attitude now, the old hateful thing. That should not be us now. We are hateful and hating one another. That's the way it used to be. I thank God, after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward all men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, who He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Praise God. Being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now you tell me that's not rich, brothers and sisters. I'm telling you, God gives us all of this through the writings of the Apostle Paul. And thank God that this man of God went through all the sufferings that he did and all the things that he endured so that he could write to us, so that the Word of God can be preserved. And thank God we have these words, the epistles and all the letters. They were preserved and put in what we have now, the books of the Bible. And thank God they're written to us. The head of the church, Jesus is coming again. And if we need guidance, if we need counsel, if we need help in the things of the Lord, the gifts of God, instructions, pastoral care. It's good to have a preacher. It's good to have someone who cares for you. But you've got the Word of God. You've got the Holy Spirit. The preacher can't be there. The elder can't be there. The deacon can't be there. The Holy Spirit's right there with you. You pick up your Bible and look at it, and it says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you, I will strengthen you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And Paul says, He is the head of the church. By Him all things consist. The one who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Father, I want to thank You for the opportunity to love Jesus. Thank You for the letters of the Apostle Paul. Thank You for the Word of God. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that You're the head of the church, and we look to You for guidance. We look to You for encouragement. You're the great shepherd. We bring ourselves under Your rod and under Your staff. They'll comfort us. We thank You for leading us beside still waters, bringing us into those green pastures. We pray that many would find that comfort and peace today. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching session entitled The Letters of Paul, Part 2. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.